When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always,
always
use your head.
You are now listening to Chair Shot Radio. Always use your head.
Here we are. Welcome everyone into a special holiday edition of Chair Shot Radio. That's right, David Ungar and Patrick O'Dowd. We don't take a day off for something as trivial as Easter and the end of Passover. No way. No way. We are still here, ready to give you all the best in Chair Shot hockey coverage. I've already said his name. Hello, Mr. Ungar. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Getting ready to talk some hockey with you, see where things are going. We got the trade deadline coming up. It's getting near the end. It seems like we just started.
I know. Well, we did just back when we just started, I was in a better place with hockey. I'm in not such a great place these days. Before we get to that, though, I did just want to ask, like, happy holidays. I don't know. Do you celebrate one, both, neither? Like when it comes to like Passover and Easter and all that, like, I don't know how the families intermingle or, you know, what's up there?
On my wife's side of the fence, they celebrate Easter. It's a pretty big deal for them. You know, most of us Jewish people don't really celebrate it that often. It's just go figure.
Well, that's why I brought up the Passover part. Cause like Passover started last week. It ends on Sunday. And so here's the thing is this is the funny thing about my upbringing and my mom programmed and we were Catholic, like the whole family's Catholic. They're like, none of that, but you sure shooting, we're going to watch the Ten Commandments on Saturday. And we were going to learn, we were going to watch Moses go down and part that Red Sea. Cecil B. DeMille, the king of epic filmmaking, the master of 4-hour epics, and the Ten Commandments, probably his opus. And it aired on NBC like it does every Saturday before Easter. And I don't watch it because of the commercial breaks. I watch it. I mean, it's long enough as it is. It's 3 hours and 39 minutes, which, to his credit, Mr. DeMille, in the introduction of the thing, tells you that the movie is 3 hours and 39 minutes with an introduction. Or with an intermission and an overture. It has an overture as well, which you need. You need an introductory overture to the grand scope and epic of the Ten Commandments. So it's all religion overtones, you know, and hammering you over the head aside. It's a hell of a well-made movie. It's great. It's Chuck Heston at his best. And just an epic of epic proportions. Like, I can't think of a better word to describe it. So
yeah, I think from my end, it just, I mean, we always celebrated Easter. Everybody I've been around has been, you know, on that side of the fence, so to speak. And I mean, it's a Sunday holiday, so it's not like you get a day off. So it's kind of like, all right, let's do some fun. So, I mean, it was always fun with the kids, the Easter egg hunt and that sort of thing. And I mean, it's fine. I'll probably do something tomorrow, you know.
It's fine. He described the whole. It's fine.
The resurrection, like, of Christ. It's fine.
Well, let me tell you, I left the house and suddenly religion became such a backseat to my life that, like, I embrace calling it Zombie Jesus Day, right? Like Jesus rising from the grave and all that. So
what did I call
not
it?
I
called it something this morning. It's like, we didn't kill them all the way day or something ridiculous, Jesus, like, man, that. Blasphemous. I know, blasphemous. But
that's That's horrible and yet hilarious at the same time. If the live studio audience was here, you would have gotten a round of laughter. But
or booze.
This is Chair Shot Radio. No, I wouldn't have booed that. I would have applauded that shit. That's amazing. So please remember, friends, that the views of David Ungar and Patrick O'Dowd do not reflect the views of the Chair Shot Radio Network and thechairshot.com, which, by the way, that is what you're listening to. You're listening to Chair Shot Radio, part of the Chair Shot Radio Network on thechairshot.com.
Absolutely. Not trying to blaspheme anybody. I hope everybody has an excellent Easter Sunday and or Passover, or whatever you're celebrating on Sunday.
So, full disclosure, everybody, if you're listening, you're going to hear probably some sniffles. I'm a little under the weather, got a little bit of a cold, and it's just decided that, hey, you're recording, so now's the time where we're not going to stuff you up. We're going to let you free flow and have that big hot mess. So I will do my best. I'll do my best for you, and maybe we'll work on some brevity. We will talk hockey. There's been some shakeups in the standings all over the place. Trade deadline is coming. And then we've taken a new spin on Your Team Sucks. We've decided to pick on Bandwagon Nerd's favorite teams because basically 2 weeks ago we started with my team, my beloved Chicago Bears.
Had to really choke to get that out.
Did your beloved Washington Wizards. And this week we're going to pick on our good friend PC Tunney's beloved Milwaukee Brewers. And I can't wait to be an insufferable best fan in baseball and just rip on the Brewers for a good period of time. But before we get to all of that, of course, we got to talk some hockey. And because of that, we got to listen to some swingers. So let's get to it.
Make somebody's head bleed. Not only in playoffs. I'm going to make Wayne Gretzky's head bleed for super fan number 99 over here.
That's enough of that. Ain't nobody got time for that today. I love hearing the whole theme, but I want to get to this. I kind of want to get this over with, Dave. So let's go to the West. My Blues are in free fall. My Blues are in free fall. Arizona has overtaken us for the last playoff spot. The Blues now a point behind. They are 2-6-2 in their last 10 on a one-game losing streak. We are going nowhere but down. This team is circling the drain, and I don't see them coming out of it. I think we're going to miss the playoffs.
It's not looking so hot, is it? I mean,
it's not very bad.
You guys
indeed
have gotten just wiped out by injuries and just, I don't know. They're your team. What is exactly wrong with the Blues? Is it just injuries, or is there other stuff going on?
I mean, injuries has a lot to do with it. We've had a lot of guys out for the season. We're having some guys come back and they're just not themselves. But I mean, you look at our home record. Our home record, we're 4-8-4. Like, we don't win on home ice. Like, that's terrible.
Not going far like that.
4-8-4. You're and on home ice, like, you're not going to get it. We don't score. We give up way more than we score, obviously, because the goal differential is off. I mean, it's not like we're Anaheim, where the goal differential for them in last place is 42, negative 42. But, you know, you look at Colorado, which has really hit a new gear. They're rolling. They took over first place from Vegas and are up by a good 2 points. Like, they are killing people. Their last 10, they're 8-0-2. They are
who we thought they'd be, right?
Kale McCarr, I've been telling you about that name, is just tearing up. He's an assist machine. He is getting it done. The rest of that team is superb, and they don't give up goals, and they score. And that's, I mean, it's so funny because I feel like, what is it in Waterboy, where it's like, Brent Musburger keeps telling Fouts, like, we get it. We know.
We know. Right.
Because it's the most obvious stuff in the world. Like, they score more goals than the other team. That's usually a path to victory.
It took them a while to get going, but they were, as you recall, they were my pick to win the cup.
The pick.
Yeah, they're turning into who we thought they would be. I mean, they're going to have you know, their first playoff matchup is going to be against Arizona, St. Louis, or maybe San Jose if San Jose catches fire a little bit. But I take that back. They're only, what, 3 points? 3 points out of the last playoff spot. So the Sharks are still in there, but you got to figure that bodes well for Colorado as Vegas and Minnesota beat the hell out of each other. So, right. Yeah, and that's all fine and great. And I mean, the Blues have got a lot of obstacles to overcome. It's hard to maintain consistency. I know from watching my own team this year.
It's one of those things. I don't think it's going to cost Craig Berube his job or anything. Obviously, you know, you bring a cup back for the first time in, you know, ever. I said bring back. We brought a cup for the first time in ever, and you were a top team in the NHL last year, heading in before the stoppage, and then they were just flat coming into the playoffs and in the playoffs, you know, to get bounced in the first round, and it's just never like they had some good traction. They were up at the top of the division, but they just never have been all that impressive. And a few weeks ago when we did pretenders and contenders, I called them a pretender, and they're proving me right now. So I think you could see San Jose leapfrog its way up to compete with Arizona for that fourth playoff spot. Like, I think the Blues are going to drop. I think they're going to finish in sixth.
Wow. That'd be shocking. Yep. I mean, and the Kings aren't that far behind. I mean, that's going to be interesting. Last coming down the wire. I was going to ask, switching over to the North Division, did you, Toronto and Edmonton had a hell of a 2-game series this past week.
Yes, they did. And yes, they did.
That's going to be fun if they end up meeting each other in the North Division final. It looks like we're about done. Montreal has put some distance on Vancouver. I know Vancouver's had some issues, COVID related, where they've been off. Right. But it sure looks like the little tweaks that Montreal did at the it's not the trade deadline, but the tweaks that they did a couple weeks ago are paying dividends. That division looks like they might be done.
Yeah, I mean, you look at there's a clear divide here, and again, you don't have to look further than differential, right? And all four of the teams that are at the top of the North are over plus 10 in differential and scoring differential. Like, that's a recipe for victory. And the other three, like, they're taking the brunt of it. So it's clear that those four are the best of the best. And Vancouver, Calgary, and Ottawa, we'll see you next year. Like, it's just not going to be a thing.
Yeah. And I know we talked a little bit of a mix up in the standings, jumbling around. Central Division, we've got Nashville and Chicago in a virtual tie for the last playoff spot. Yeah. And then the three teams at the top, though, Tampa, Florida, Carolina, have just distanced themselves from everybody. But that's going to be a fun battle to see who takes first in that one and who gets the privilege of taking on Nashville or Chicago or conceivably Columbus, maybe Dallas.
I mean, that's the thing is whoever gets that number two is in for a dogfight. You know what I mean? With Carolina. And here's the thing. Those top three, they're separated by a point. Carolina is only a point behind Florida and Tampa Bay. So it's not like we can discount any of them. But again, you look at the cream rising to the top, probably the anomaly is Dallas, who we thought would be better than what they were. Their COVID stoppage seems to have really hurt them. And I don't know. Yeah, Nashville and Chicago seem to be about the same team. Chicago, I think, is more of a team on the up, and Nashville, I think, is a team kind of holding on and trying to just stave them off and not be in the descent. So, but let's get to your division. All right, let's get to the East. How are you feeling up there on the top perch? 2 points up as of Saturday.
I mean, you're talking the Central. How tight the Central is. The East is just as tight. You got the Caps, the Islanders, and I got to give them credit. As much as it pains me, the Pittsburgh Penguins, who I did not think would be this good. They apparently are again, which makes me want to, you know, vomit, but whatever. I thought the Caps had a couple of rough games this week. They had horrible third periods against the New York Rangers 2 games in a row. Cost them one of the games.
Yeah, but you got to watch out for the Rangers. The Rangers have been playing really good hockey. You know, last 10, they're 6-3-1. So they're on a 2-game win streak. Like, they're doing their job.
And they're within striking distance of Boston, who is, you know, pulling a St. Louis a little bit right now and kind of collapsing down the stretch. Philly and the Rangers are right there. The Caps, I mean, thank God for the New Jersey Devils, because we're 7-0 against them this year. And that's right. Really, yeah. That's really what's bolstering them up. I still not quite, you know, when the Islanders put a snowman on you with 8 goals the other night. And I know we had some weird stuff going on with goalies in the first period where Samsonov got hit by Oshie in the first 30 seconds, had to come out. Backup comes in, then they bring the starter in and they give up 8 goals. I mean, Matt Barzal was ridiculous that game, and that's going to happen. But I feel pretty good right now about things. I'm not sure if the Caps if they win the division and they're playing Boston, Philly, or the Rangers. I mean, they've done well against, Boston and Philly. The Rangers have been a problem, so we'll see how that goes. But the big news in the East was at the bottom, where the Buffalo Sabres finally snapped that 18-game losing streak.
Gee whiz. That's, it's funny because that had to be just cathartic for the team. Even, they're going nowhere. Nothing's gone right. This was a team we were high on at the start of the season, and we were dead wrong. And it's one of those things, when you're in a losing streak like that, one bad thing immediately turns into here we go again. And to finally win one, and you knew they'd come out of it eventually, just for their sake, I hope they get some sort of a run going, just any sort of run, even if it's like a 3-game winning streak or 4, just something to build on, because it hurts to be that bad.
I mean, yeah, you're looking, you spent a lot of time talking goal differential. They're minus 47. I mean, Ottawa's minus 44, Anaheim's minus 42, and Detroit's minus 40. So you look at the teams, there's a common thread there. If you're minus 40, you're going to be in dead last. Go figure. Go figure, right?
Stands to reason. Don't score goals, you will lose games. That's just the way it is. No matter how much you want your hockey to be better than that, it really does come down to that. You got to defend. You got to control your end of the ice, and Buffalo doesn't do that. Same problem with the Blues. I watched them play. They happen to be not blacked out regionally for a change. And so I didn't get stuck with Bruins coverage on the NHL Network one day. And it's that was the thing I think that really was bothersome is, Jordan Binnington's not having the greatest year. So glad we locked him up for 6 years. But part of that has to do with not controlling the ice and not keeping the puck out of your own end. And it just seemed like, as I watched the Blues play, I don't know if it's just because San Jose's had their number, but it was the Blues of San Jose, and they were in the Blues zone. It felt like the whole damn game. We couldn't get anything going, no traction. And when you're dealing with something like that, it's going to be a long night.
Yeah, when the ice is tilted like that. When the ice gets tilted like that, it's hard to dig out from under that without creating some organic momentum on your own. And they're
right.
Obviously they're not doing enough of that. My guys do that a little bit better. They're a much more control oriented.
You've got the horses to do it. That's the thing, is Buffalo doesn't have the horses to do it. They don't have the players to do it. They need to really look at their roster for next year. Same thing, the Blues, their horses are out. They're hurt. So when that happens, you're going to lose games and you're going to be in a free fall. And I don't see the Blues coming out of it. And this has been your Blues Hour with Patrick O'Dowd on the Chair Shot Radio. I usually give Dave a hard time for his Caps coverage, because it seems like we focus on the team we know and love, obviously. And this week it's misery, misery, misery for me. So much so that I want to move on to trade deadlines coming up. It's looming. Anybody left to make a move?
Your guys have got to do something. I think your guys are going to do something. They're not going to be satisfied with where they are. I don't know where they make the move to. But you got to figure, looking at teams who are really clearly out of it, Buffalo's going to unload some stuff, and they've got some good players to unload. New Jersey, I've been reluctant to say they're going to be sellers, because they might want to stand pat, but I'm starting to think maybe they do unload. They've got some talent there. They might try to get better through trades. I'm just looking around thinking, okay, who's got assets and resources that they can part with? It's hard because Dallas, I don't know if Dallas is going to throw in the towel on the season. They're, you know, the defending runner up. So it's going to be curious to see what kind of deals come out of this thing. The Ducks don't have a lot of players that they can get anything for, but maybe them, maybe the Kings. The Canucks are pretty much out of it. I mean, we'll see what happens if they can move some people around. But I think that your team, the Blues, are the ones that intrigue me the most. They're not going to be satisfied with where they are. And I expect them to be buyers. I don't know what the Caps are going to do. I'm not sure where, other than goaltending, which is iffy. And we're still waiting to get report on Lundqvist, whether he could actually be available. But there's not a lot of holes. I mean, they're like, all teams have bad nights. And the Caps need to shore up some shit in the third period. That's for sure. And they've done well against the Islanders so far this year. So it's like, okay, one bad game. It is what it is. Everybody has those. So
and don't play the Rangers. Your team seems to struggle against the Rangers for some reason.
They do. Yeah, they do. I don't know what the hell's going on there, but then
yeah, so we'll see as that deadline comes closer. I think the Blues have some prospects they can unload. That's always kind of been their MO. Move some of the future for the now. And that would be my guess. We're going to transition away from that, though. We're going to move into your team sucks. But first, we got to take a quick commercial break. Before we do our quick commercial break, the recorded commercials is, of course, my duty to remind you all that if you like what we do, if you like Chair Shot Radio, if you like the podcast that we put out there, like Bandwagon Nerds, A Winner Is You, Pod Is War, by the way, fire this week, Mr. Christopher Platt going off on the show. Give that a listen. But if you like the content that we put out there, if you like what we do, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and buy a shirt supporting us. There's all kinds of designs to choose from, whether that be the OG Chair Shot logo to the various sayings that we have, like hashtag journalism, Everybody Hates Greg, things like that, and even some of our shows like Bandwagon Nerds, the show Dave and I host every Monday, along with PC Tunney and Ray Cash. Every little bit helps us keep putting out quality content, and we really do appreciate all of your support. Again, that is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. When we come back, a very special Your Team Sucks dedicated to our good friend PC Tunney as we cover the Milwaukee Brewers. I am struggling today. I am on the drugs. The acetaminophen is messing me up. You are listening to Chair Shot Radio on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, we are back. Patrick O'Dowd, little loopy today, But we're here to dedicate today's edition of Your Team Sucks to our good friend PC Tunney, as we are going to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers. And so, Tunney, this soundbite is for you.
You suck, you jackass.
Now, let's start at the beginning, shall we, as we talk about the Brewers of Milwaukee. In 1969, a new Major League Baseball team was created in Seattle, Washington, known as the Seattle Pilots. They lasted for exactly one season before moving to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and being redubbed the Brewers. And let's just start with, there's so little that Milwaukee has brought to this world that all they could think of for a team name and a mascot was beer. Now, some would say the brewing of beers is a fine team name, but it seriously lacks the dignity of some of the great baseball franchises out there. Like, I don't know, the Cardinals, the Yankees, the Trolley Dodgers. All just fine, upstanding, not some tribute to alcoholism. What a terrible team name. A team that celebrates home runs by having a goofy-looking brewer guy slide down a slide and throw balloons out of a foaming mug of beer. Their stadium, their original stadium, County Stadium, with its cheap fence and silly-looking ads all around, making it look like something out of the minor leagues. Their World Series titles. Hey, Dave, guess how many World Series titles the Milwaukee Brewers have?
A big whopping zero. One of only six remaining teams to not win a World Series.
And guess how many times they have appeared in said World Series?
Just once, Patrick. And who did they play in that World Series, by the way?
A storied franchise, the second most World Series titles in all of baseball, my beloved St. Louis Cardinals. Harvey's Wallbangers, notwithstanding, they could not handle Whitey Ball. That's right. They couldn't beat a team that loves to bunt and steal bases. That's it. The Cardinals beat teams like 2-0, 3-0. Now, granted, they did take us to 7 games because they could hit a lot. But at the end, I mean, that, it was still enough.
That team, I remember them really well, because even though they made the World Series that year, because this is back when I'm an Orioles fan, because the Nationals don't exist. They went into a 4-game set with the Orioles at the end of the season, needing to win one of those four. The Orioles took the first three, and it came down to the final game of the season. Milwaukee won the final game, got to the playoffs, and got to the World Series. So, and then the next year, the Orioles won their last world championship when they took out Philly in 5 games, and you could kind of see that coming. But the Brewers are just not a lot of success in their, I'm not going to say storied history, because it's not, it's just history.
You suck, you jackass.
Yeah, I mean, they're there. Like, I will say this. They used to be the doormat of the division. Like, there was a period of time where they were just not good. You know, you got past that era of Robin Yount and Paul Molitor, and it was kind of a dead period for Milwaukee for a while. And I mean, this is a team that has had in its history, it's been around for, now we're coming up on, you know, we're over 50 years. They've been in 3 different divisions in the American League before moving over to the National League in 98. To the present, where they've been in the Central. And I don't know, like, they have talent, but they never seem to have quite enough talent. Like, you get like Christian Yelich, who I would say is arguably the best player in the National League, and you don't have anything around him. Your pitching's always a pain in the ass. It's just never where you need it to be. There, you know, for a franchise, a .481 winning percentage, you're under .500. I'm not saying that you're bad.
But you're bad.
But you're not good.
You suck, you jackass.
You're just not good.
As a Nationals fan, the whole run to the World Series started that game against the Brewers, where Ed Tunney and I were texting back and forth during that game, and the Brewers jumped all over them. And then they had, who was their closer that year? I forget. Is some guy Hater? Not Hater. I forget what is what the closer they had.
What year was this?
2019. They brought in their closer.
No, with, I thought it was Hater.
Maybe it was Hater. But yeah, they, that game where Soto hits that shot and they misplay the ball in the outfield, three runs score, the Nationals win, and the rest, of course, is history. But yeah, I mean, they like you're saying, good teams the last few years. And I know Tony Wandes was telling us, pulling back the curtain, he's like, well, the Brewers have made the playoffs the last 2 years, so they you know, you're going to be sounding dumb if you say they suck. It's like, well, I'm saying anthologically speaking, there haven't been so good, but yeah, like you're saying, they've always been, the last few years have been good, just not good enough. And yeah, I understand right. You're playing, you got beat by the World Series champion Nationals. You got beat by the NL champion Dodgers in 2018. Anytime that they've done something of significance, the Cardinals have seemingly been there to slap them in the face and say, get back in line, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, it's
know your place.
Know your role. Know your role. Shut your mouth. Get back in line.
The Rock says, quite frankly, you should go back to the drawing board, rearrange your game plans, because your game absolutely sucks.
So yeah, the Brewers are kind of.
I'm going to check baseball reference for the 2019. Let's see. You were wanting to know who led the league in, or who led the team in saves, right? Team pitching. Okay. Yeah, it was Hader. Yeah. Josh Hader.
And he was excellent, but collapsed.
37 saves that season.
Collapsed in that game, and it sparked, you know, because, I mean, we can go in on a whole episode of why the Nationals suck as well, but,
right.
But yeah, that catapulted them to
win. I mean, that episode's coming at some point, I'm sure.
I hope so, because it needs to happen. But right. Yeah, the Brewers, like you're saying, maybe not necessarily bad, just not good, and they definitely suck.
You suck, you jackass.
So before we play the final soundbite and send this off, I do want to share that probably one of my fondest baseball memories actually comes from a Brewers game. Because before they made the move in 98, I think I went and saw them like 90, it had to be 97. Now, it was before the new stadium was finished, because I'd gone up Labor Day weekend to the Chicago area to visit a friend of mine for the weekend, because it was Labor Day weekend, so it was 3-day weekend, could do an extended thing. And we went to Milwaukee because the Cardinals were playing the Brewers. And the best thing about it, and this was the one good thing you had going for you, Milwaukee, and then you kind of blew it. We were able to drive up to Milwaukee. And I think the price was $5 to park, $5 for bleacher seats, and the beer was cheap. And the bleacher seats that we were able to get were close enough that I could read Ray Lankford's jersey in left field. And that was pretty cool. And of course the Cardinals won. I got to see Mark McGwire hit. He didn't hit a home run, but you know, before we gave a shit about steroids for about 10 minutes, we were all enamored with McGwire in 98. That was a good time because you're kind of in a dumpy stadium. Your team's expected to win. Like as a Cardinal fan, you know, you go up there to show up and play the Brewers. You're like, we're going to win. You haven't heard of anybody on the team. And you know, $5 to park, $5 for leisure seats, and then beer was like $2.50, which was unheard of at the time. Now it's like $13.50. It's crazy. That was what you had going for you, Milwaukee, and you gave it all up. And so for that, Dave and I dedicate this soundbite to you.
You suck, you jackass.
Okay. Please still be our friend, PC Tunney. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Chair Shot Radio. Before we go, as always, Dave, tell people where they can find you on the interwebs and everywhere else.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at AttitudeAgg, that is at AttitudeAgg, and on Facebook.com/AttitudeOfAggression.
Remember to send all your blasphemous hate tweets to David Ungar to this week, not Patrick O'Dowd. Nothing to do with it. Go Jesus. You can follow me on the Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can hear me every Sunday with Dave here on Chair Shot Radio. You will hear Dave and I again on Monday with PC Tunney and Ray Cash on Bandwagon Nerds. And then you can also hear me every Wednesday when I talk wrestling on the Babyface Heel podcast with Craig DeMarco and Miranda Morales. That's going to do it for the Sunday holiday edition of Chair Shot Radio. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And we will see you next week on the Chair Shot Radio, part of the Chair Shot Radio Network on thechairshot.com.
Happy Zombie Jesus, Dave.
The ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.